Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide. I'm your co-host today, Bart Zandbergen. Sitting in the driver's seat today is none other than Leticia Birbaum. Leticia, it's all yours.
Hold on, everybody. Hey, Paul. I wanted to let everyone know
she has been angling for that seat since the day she came in here. And finally, the good guy that you are, you let her drive the car here.
I don't know if it's sympathy or empathy or it's just giving up for the day.
I've given up for the day.
he's just too tired to keep fighting it here. Well, last the show that we pre-taped, which won't come out until a week, I'll give a little preview, it's one of our longest shows, but it also is chock full of fun stuff and fascinating information. So I'll just leave it at that. Little teaser comes out next week.
Next week. And it was a fun show, a fun day.
It was. I really enjoyed it.
Fun so after show.
You're going to have to find us on our social media to see the fun photos. They're pretty comical. And you can see all the wines that we brought in.
And I did what I aspired to do. I surprised Leticia.
He did. Always
she
keeping me on my toes.
Didn't think I knew anything about the subject at hand. We'll just leave it at that. So
thanks, Paul. So I wanted to go back to our overall goals, and what we want to be able to make sure that we're addressing today is what keeps you up at night. And so a lot of times people might be thinking about this, but at the end of the day, they might be afraid to ask the question. They don't really know where to look. And a lot of times they just go to Google and you get a variety of options, but everyone knows that you can get any answer you want out there, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to align with what your core values are and what your goals are in life. And so that's why we're here to kind of help guide you with that, what that looks like. So a lot of times, I do want to also just point out, I know that we talk about Bart is a CFP and he is also a sommelier, but no one ever talks about one of his other certifications that he has.
He's got more of them? Oh,
does.
My goodness.
He does. So he's a CDFA, and that's a Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, right?
Is that that's
the term?
Never even heard of such a thing. What is that? You got to explain what that is.
Please.
So that is a professional that has some continuing education and certification in the area of divorce. So I work closely with divorce attorneys in helping. Typically, it happens one of a couple of ways. One, we may come in as just the general financial analyst, kind of helping both sides with the analyzing of balance sheets and equalizing assets and so forth. More often, we come in representing one side, typically our client, with that expertise, just to make sure that he or she is fairly represented.
And can I just take a second and point out, we did a couple shows a couple of years ago on this subject with a gentleman, an older gentleman, who is a forensic accountant. And he gets called in usually very high-profile cases, very wealthy couple. Quite often, there is an economic discrepancy. The man or the woman makes most of the money, and suddenly there's a divorce, and suddenly the money ain't there. It's all gone. There isn't supposedly as much money there. And his job was to go in and figure it out, ferret it out, what do these businesses work to make an equitable split. And it ain't so easy.
Yeah, that's a different level. If you're in a divorce, that's something that you want to try and stay away from. No disrespect to the forensic accountants, but for one who has to go through it, it's excruciating.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Painful.
Well, he talked about high-profile case. I think the one that was a couple years ago, the guy who owned the Dodgers, I forget his name, mm-hmm. Jamie McCord or whatever, and how it just was awful and ended up, everybody lost money. The only people who made money are the people searching for it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So a lot of times, if you like it or not, money is sometimes what keeps you up at night. The stress behind it, and how do you manage it? How do you merge it? How do you split it? And what does that look like? And how does it affect you? And the decisions that you make all have consequences. So sometimes, avoiding it is also a decision as well. So that's what we want to talk about today. And if you are either, we're kind of combine the two, but overall, if you are just either getting married, some of the things that we want to help you think about and a lot of times people have the decision, do we merge our assets? Do we keep our assets separate? And how do we determine what that looks like for a household going forward? And I thought that this was fantastic for Bart and I to have this conversation about this, because our ages are very different. So in different stages of your life, you might have different experiences to get to where you are. And that's what's so great about us working together, is we're able to provide different perspectives for all of our clients. So,
and before you outline it, I just have one question. Do you recommend that people do prenups or in some way?
Paul, you have a way of taking my thunder.
I know, because I think that's where you're headed, and that was we've done some shows on that stuff. Yeah. That's the big look at Paul McCartney and all the famous people that said, "Oh, I need a prenup. I'm in love," and then all of a sudden it comes back to bite him big time. Yeah.
Well, can I first point out how delicate Letitia was in saying how different our ages are?
I let that slide, because if she's different, I'm way different.
Exactly. Go ahead, Bart.
But that whole idea of prenups, because you're talking about figuring out how you're going to split up the money and whose is what and how are we going to do this. Do you put it in a plan? Do you put it on a piece of paper? Does it become a legal document?
So, you know, I think, like with many things in life, it all starts with a plan. Mm-hmm. And part of that plan is really talking about the financial goals. So if a couple is getting together, I think it's important that they discuss, hey, what's important? You know, are you on the same page with what they're trying to accomplish? Part of that conversation then will be, well, we're going to keep our stuff separate and we'll have this in common, and then which might lead to the conversation of the prenup. Something that as we go through this, I'm finding really, really interesting, and that we know people right now that are going through a business merger. And a lot of these things are the exact same things as you take on a partner. So while this applies, everything we're talking about applies to, or is intended to apply, about a marriage, but it also applies to a business
but
merger.
But people don't treat it the same. That was the point of the stories we did before. You are merging, particularly if you've got a lot of money coming together.
Right.
We don't approach it in that same business sense, because it has this veneer of love and trust and happiness added to it that somehow is supposed to. You wouldn't, even if you loved your partner, your best friends for life, you would put it down on paper. But if you get your marital best friend, suddenly that's supposed to be different.
No, you definitely bring up a great point, and I think that that's something that it's a personal preference. So sometimes people feel, I've heard in the past, that it gives them a bad, it's a bad taste.
Bad start.
Bad start.
It's like you're planning to fail.
Correct. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. But absolutely. So if things you might want to take in consideration is, like, for example, meet with your wealth advisor or financial advisor. And when you're sitting down, kind of talk to them and say, okay, look, you already know what my overall goals and objectives are. We've already met. You already know what I have. And then come in together. And sometimes, I can't tell you how many times that people come in together and the husband and wife might not, two people together getting ready to get married, they might not be on the same page at all. And a lot of times, I can't tell you how many times in these meetings that they are learning about each other with us in this meeting. And it's a great environment for us to be able to provide, you know, a safe place for people to be able to talk about their finances and not necessarily talk about the emotions behind it, but really talking about, you know, where they want to be overall with
goals. Can I just give you one quick case of a very good friend of mine? I won't identify what he does because I don't want to give it away, but he makes a lot of money. He's a service provider, and he got married for the second time. And the woman, after he got married, found out she had like a substantial debt he didn't know about, like $50,000 or something. And he was horrified. And she didn't make any money. He made all the money, and it's the assumption is he's going to pay this off now. And he's like, well, I wish you'd told me. And it almost broke them up the very first year they were together, because it was such a shock to him that she wouldn't disclose it. And it turned out that she was kind of embarrassed and didn't want to talk about it. And it was just...
Well, one of our pre-marriage... on our pre-marriage checklist, one of the first things is obviously getting to know each other financially. And part of this, gathering statements.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
statements are... asset statements, bank statements,
show me
debt
yours.
Statements.
Show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Yeah. But it's so true.
I think it's all, I mean,
yeah.
we can get philosophical in marriage and, you know, honesty and so forth, but that's all part of,
yeah.
of that.
Right. So I think that's why it's great. So sometimes you can set up a meeting with your financial advisor and then you bring all those statements in. So then that way it's a area that you can bring it to someone that can help you analyze it and say, okay, overall, what are your goals and objectives? Are all of your investments in line? What do you have? What do I have? And then you guys can talk about overall. Then the next step would be like, what are your financial goals in life? What's your long-term goals? What's your short-term goals? Do you want to buy a home? Do you want to buy a business?
How many kids are you going to have?
Right. All these things cost money, and it talks about, and it, all of it affects your long-term
but
goals.
Is it easy? That's what I'm getting at. Is it easy to get this out on the table, or are you bringing out something that one or both of them are uncomfortable to disclose or discuss?
Well, we all know that depends, right? It depends on the situation, but majority of the time, people already have an idea. We're just opening up the platform for them to feel comfortable to talk about it, and we guide them through that.
And so, does it open up sort of these, like with my friend, all of a sudden he delved into a subject that he had never thought of. They're in love. They got married. And all of a sudden it was an ugly side that neither one of them anticipated to discuss here.
Well, we talk about financial planning, and sometimes when we dig into financial planning, it's not always roses, right? There's some thorns in there as well. And you're talking about how you're doing with your spending and how you are compared to your savings. And you kind of figure out what works for you guys as a couple. And with that, then we help people create a budget. And then also, in addition to creating a budget and working through that, what that looks like, you have to take in consideration, okay, together, are we properly insured? Do we have enough to cover all of our needs in case one person passes on? What is our legacy? Maybe that this is a second marriage, like you said. Are the kids covered in case something happens? Now you're commingling assets. Do you want to make sure that you are changing the beneficiaries to each other, or do you want to keep them the way that they were prior to? And if that's the case, then that's when it comes into the conversation of, hey, do you want to consider a prenup? And that is really of, if you created this wealth and you wanted to pass it on to maybe those kids, then maybe you keep those assets separate and you get an attorney involved and you talk about estate planning and you create, do you have joint trust? Do you have individual trust? What's your process? What's your path you guys want to go through together? And our role is to really be that quarterback to help them put it all together. Create the state, get the statements and put them together. Help them with the financial plan. Help them coordinate with the estate attorneys. Maybe making sure that they have the right their right insurance together. And then we talk about if they want to open things jointly. And then how does that look for them jointly opening up investments together? So it's a whole process. It's not something you do over one meeting, but it's multiple meetings.
But do you become almost marriage counselor or therapist in the process?
Well, when you're dealing with people's money.
Particularly, people with a lot of money and a lot of things.
That's kind of part of our daily job.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Nothing makes evening dinner more uncomfortable than for a spouse to find out that the previous ex-spouse is still a beneficiary, or even worse, this spouse dies and then the money goes to the ex-spouse. That's not good.
Oh, yeah. I never would have thought of.
Those are never fun calls to have.
No, those aren't.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I just, as you were both talking, because I'm actually just the bystander today. This is the Paul and Letitia show.
But don't you believe it.
We have currently at least two sets of clients who have been married, divorced, and are remarried again.
Oh, my goodness.
So those, because they
have been... To the same people? Or
that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yes.
To the same people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so those, in each of the case, they maintain their finances quite separately.
Yeah.
Have their separate trusts. I mean, they're still...
So they're willing to get married again, but they don't want to commingle the money anymore.
And they realize it was the money that was causing a little more tension.
Yeah.
So then once they did things separately, then each of them were happy. They were able to.
I would love to. I know you can't tell these kind of stories, but someday you should write a book on the stories and what you see, because I'm just fascinated. This other guy, when he would come in and tell these stories of what happens when you start delving into people's personal finances, not only the shocks that come out to him, but the shocks that come out to each other. I didn't know you had that. I didn't know you had a secret account or a little hidden debt or something.
Yeah, no, it's great. And that actually does come out. So I could just tell a personal story. My husband and I, we went in, we decided we were going to have children, and we wanted to get a trust to be able to make sure we're protecting our assets, taking care of our kids. And while we were doing that, you know, we had to bring out all of our statements. So most of them came out prior to, but when you're doing your trust, all of them come out. And then you're like, oh, I didn't realize you had that there. I'm like, oh, I forgot to tell you that.
Did I forget to tell you?
That's my emergency money.
That's my mad money. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Right, that's my Nordstrom's account. No, but at the end of the day, you know, I would say the key takeaways is to be honest with one another. Sometimes you don't have to commingle everything. Sometimes you can have your own parameters, and you can kind of ease into what that looks like for your own unique situation. Budget. Make sure that you guys are talking about what are like the absolute needs versus together, and then what it looks like for you each individually. Like you talked about before, you might have different incomes, so maybe not necessarily everything is equal, and you guys understand that. And then working towards shared long-term savings goals. Review annually with your advisor. We always recommend that. Kind of just do a spot check. Like you go to your doctor annually, go to your wealth advisor annually. Determine your benefits of who's going to be the beneficiaries on your account. Maybe that's Jane's. Maybe Uncle Peter or Aunt Sally. I don't know. Maybe you don't want them to be on there as a beneficiary anymore, and you can change that and update it. Doesn't mean that it's permanent. And making sure you have enough insurance in case the what if, and discuss estate planning. So those are the, when you're getting married, these are things high level, at least, to be thinking about and merge while you're merging your assets or either separating assets.
Can I just say, I wish that when I was having my trust done with my wife, that she would have come out with this statement with several $100,000. I would have been so excited. Yeah. Another, the last comment before we move on. This subject, I think the audience knows that most of our clients are considered high net worth or ultra high net worth. This concept here has no boundaries.
It applies to everybody.
It applies to anyone, you know, regardless of your net worth. So that's why we thought it would be a good.
And let me just give you two examples, because I don't fit into the high net worth clientele that you usually, the uber rich or the very rich that you deal with. When my wife and I got together, she had been married before, and she was willing to set up a joint system of paying bills in a joint account, which we have had now for 30 years. So we both put money into it, and from that we pay our bills. But she insisted.
I'm going to interrupt you. From the beginning, you set up a process that you're still using.
Still using, yes,
see?
Exactly. And I don't think I'm saying anything that she would mind, but she hated the idea. She makes money and I make money. She hated the idea of somebody telling her, you can't spend something. Or what are you going to do with your money?
That's me, Paul.
So she said, there is my money, there's your money, and there's our money. And when it's my money, you know, you can ask, but I don't want you ever coming saying, well, I don't want you to look at my statement saying, what'd you buy $400 worth of stuff for? It's my money. I earned it. And that's what she hated about her previous marriage. So as much as I disagree sometimes and or think, gee, I'd like to save more or do something, it's her money. And conversely, then I said, well, then you can't come and say if I spent $100 for something in my business.
You know, Paul, I'm going to be real honest here. I do the exact same thing, and I'm very private, so Bart's probably shocked that I'm even saying this. I am exactly the same way. And at the end of the day, I preach for women to have their own independence, not just rely on their husband. And so having your own job, having your own accounts, having your own stability, having your own credit, all those things make you completely independent. So no matter what happens later in life, you always have.
So she felt, I'm never going to feel forced to stay or economically.
Bart's laughing at me now.
So actually, I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at both of you, actually. And as well, my situation, because my wife is very independent too. What's hers is hers and what's mine is hers.
Better.
Right.
She's in great shape.
Right.
This
exactly. And so you just have to come to the sink. And then, of course, when we've always heard about when my mother, this is an example of what we've all seen, the previous generation, the older generation, when my mother's father died, her mother was clueless. She didn't even know where the bank accounts were, much less what, I mean, we had to go through and create a whole plan for, because he did everything and told her nothing.
Well, we have a solution. If you are our client, which you should be, if you are our client.
We should be. I really should. We should all be.
We all should be. But if you're our client, we have a software that we've talked about before with our financial planning.
It's brilliant.
And people can log in and they can get access to their accounts. They can see everything all at once. And that way, that gives them a peace of mind. So they don't have to say, where is this? Where is that? They can log in and actually see
and,
it.
Can I give you an example of how I could benefit from that thing? I was thinking this after one of the other shows. I have a business, and I have so many different accounts set up for this business. Social media accounts, business accounts, trade accounts, whatnot. And each one of them has a password.
Yeah.
And each one of them, the passwords are different. I try and not use the same one over and over and over again.
Yep.
And it occurred to me after you guys were talking, if I died tomorrow and my wife had to come and either shut down or sell or do something with this business, nobody would know where those accounts were or how to get into any of them.
Because
I don't write them, you know, I'm not supposed to write the passwords down, right? That's
Yeah. It's so true. You have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. Okay, well, we're almost out of time, and we still had one more topic that we wanted to cover. I don't know if we have time, Bart, to go over it. What do you think?
Just do the three-minute version.
The three-minute version. Why don't we change to the last topic of RMDs, required minimum distribution? It's not sexy. Bart is like, oh, my goodness, I don't want
to
do that.
I've been waiting all week to talk about RMDs. I really have. I was knew you were coming in talking about it. Couldn't
RMDs,
wait.
RMDs. Okay, so the end of the year, it's a big thing. People need to make sure that they take their RMDs, which is a required minimum distribution. It's associated with retirement accounts. Bart, go ahead. You're right, ready to say something.
No, I just wanted to make sure you defined it properly so people are like, what's an RMD?
Yeah.
So it's a... as Letitia says, it's a required minimum distribution that must come out of your 401ks, IRAs, or any of your qualified accounts.
At what age?
Starting at age 70 and one half. So if you haven't taken money out by then, you have to start. The IRS is generous enough to let us defer taxes, but they won't let us do it forever. So that
and people don't want to because then you got to pay tax on it. So they want to keep it in there. If they don't need it, they don't want to pull it out.
So an example would be an IRA, an inherited IRA, a Roth IRA, an inherited Roth IRA, a 403B.
He's shaking his head.
You have options. I know you have options. You have options. And then you have your 401k and a Roth 401k. You still have to take an RMD, by the way.
I think the Roth, but not the Roth IRA. I think I'm going to challenge you on that. We'll get back
to
you.
We have a challenge on the table here. We'll have to come back.
It's single life. It is right here. Single life expectancy table.
But this is the time of year. We're at the end of the year here, 2018. This is when these ugly things come up and you got to take some money out. Oh, they're going to fight over it. They're going to arm wrestle over this. Isn't
I'm like, here.
But she's circling it. He's crossing it.
Oh, this one?
What's that little
A regular place? Roth IRA. No. No RMD required.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. We'll call it a draw. So do people resist this or just forget about it? With these required RMDs? Is this something they just put aside? Because there's penalties, I'm assuming, if you don't do it.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it would be ridiculous to not do it because the fees are very high, like 50%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ow. Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to mess with that.
But there's options and there's planning that you can put in place. So, for example, if you want to take an RMD out of one account and then double it out of one and then not take it out of another, you have those options. So you can work with your advisor to really figure out what's the best strategy to do that. And there's a whole tax planning strategy. We can probably go on and on today about all the options with RMDs, but you should at least be aware of what an RMD is.
One quick question, and I know we're out of time.
Yep.
Rules have changed so dramatically, up in the air. 2019, new things are kicking in. I'd like to hear you come back in the coming year and tell us some of those changes and rules and things to be aware of. And how do you plan long term when the short term politics suggest the rules are going to change again?
Things are always changing, and so that's why you have advisors like us that are aware of what's going on, and we're able to know your specific situation and be able to give you recommendations right on the spot and implement it.
My only recommendation is make more money.
Well, that's what we're doing.
That was a good plan.
All right. So how do they learn about you guys and everything you do here? Are you setting up times to go through end-of-the-year things? Or I know you're always looking for new clients, but you guys have a process you follow.
Year-end planning, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm a big believer in this, of year-end planning, making sure that you have everything in order before the year is end, so that way you're maximizing your deductions and in having a meeting with your CPA ahead of time.
But it's the holidays. Advisors. I don't want to talk about it now. I want to talk about it later.
I know. But just making sure you have everything in order and making sure that if you have questions, we're here. We're, you know, even though you're on vacation, we're never on vacation, and we're always here and to be able to
So that you don't have to, so that you can sleep at night. So you can check that one off the list. Don't worry about it. It's all about peace of mind. All right.
So you can find us on our website. You can log in and see us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. And you can go on and find Bart under your name. Go ahead.
Yeah. Give him your BartZandbergen.com. BartZandbergen.com. It's also my Instagram and Facebook handle. And then our business website is www.optivestinc.com. And Letitia's is?
Letitia Burbaum. And it's
spelled it. Somebody asked me last time how you spell it. Because it could be B-I-B-E.
I know. So it's L-E-T-I-T-I-A-B-E-R-B-A-U-M. I go by Tisha frequently, so if you look that up, you won't find me. But at the end of the day, you can always find us on Podbeam, finding our podcast, or you can go on iTunes. So there's a lot of great places you can look us up, and you go to Zandbergen Report, Wealth Strategies and Investment Wisdom, or even just go to Google and you'll find us.
So much stress this time of the year. Why not get one of them off your checklist here? Why not get one of them off your mind here?
Perfect.
Okay.
All right, everyone. See you back next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest Inc. and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest Inc. under SEC registration.